crowd tonight. But really appreciate everyone who is here this evening. Really appreciate that. In John chapter 12, again, we have Jesus being anointed by Mary with this very expensive ointment, this very expensive fragrance, if you will. And that got me thinking about something. I want you to notice in verse 3, when she anointed his feet, what it did, in the very last sentence, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, many of you probably have some candles in your apartment or in house, or potpourri, or Febreze. If it starts to reek, you spray it, because you don't want the bad smell, the bad odor in your house. Well, I got to thinking about what the most expensive type of perfume would be. Because that's what Mary did. She took some of the most expensive perfume to place on the feet of Jesus. And she spent so much of it that the smell filled the whole room. So I did a little Google search. I said, what is the most expensive perfume? And I came across this. As we think about remembering what we are as Christians, I came across this particular fragrance. It's made by Christian Slive. I don't know if that is a male or a female. No idea. It's called Majestic Imperial, or Imperial Majesty, maybe is better. This fragrance is worth $215,000. That would be more than four times my annual salary. That is some expensive perfume. But you can imagine how good that smells, can't you? I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. As I've already mentioned, this idea of remembering what you are, you might say, Wes, why are you talking about perfume? Why are you talking about a smell? Well, because Christians, we are the fragrance of Christ. You may not realize that. You may not have thought about that. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, as Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he's letting them know about some of the issues that he has just gone through in preaching the word in Troas and in other places in Macedonia. And he's talking to them and he's telling them about their situation, about their experience. I want you to look in verse 14 after he's just said that Titus finally joined them. Titus came to him, which he will say later in the book, made him rejoice. That it filled him with comfort and joy. And so he said in verse 14, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance, there's our word from a moment ago that filled the house, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma, same word, fragrance of Christ, to God. And we'll stop there for the time being. As he is in this city preaching the gospel, he says, we are the fragrance of Christ. So imagine if Christ had a perfume line. How much would that be worth? That would be worth a lot, wouldn't it? Because it was purchased and produced by the shedding of his blood. Very, very costly. I want you to think for a second. What is this idea of a triumphal procession? When a king would go out to battle and the king would win, what did the king do when he came back into town? There was a party. There was a parade. And they often burnt incense in the parade. And they led the way. And that's what Paul, I think, is drawing a picture of right here in verse 14. Of Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. He is the King who's leading us to victory. And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. We're being used to spread Him all over the place. For we are the fragrance of Christ. You ever think of yourself in that way? That I give off a smell for Christ. When people see me, or I should say when they, quote, smell me, what are they smelling about Christ? Are they getting the knowledge of Christ? Or are they getting something different? I want you to see how Paul explains this smell that he has. And it's not the same. They're the same people, but different people smell different things. Let's think about this. Go pick back up in verse 15. For we are the aroma of Christ, and notice it again, to God. We'll talk more about that in the second point. The aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So whether you are a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, we are still the aroma, the fragrance of Christ to God, no matter who we're around. And notice the different smell. Verse 16. To one, a fragrance from death to death, and the other, a fragrance from life to life. What did he just say? To the people who have eternal life, or the people that will gain eternal life, is it a pleasant smell or a disgusting smell? It is very much a great smell. It is a very pleasant smell. But to others who are dead and are going to die, what does it smell like? Death. You've heard someone use that phrase. Man, it smells like death in here. And no one ever says that as a compliment. Man, your breath smells like dead bones. Is not a compliment. Do all people think perfume smells good? There are some of you who are in the audience that may very well be allergic to perfume. That if someone has put one too many squirts of perfume on them, you don't want to be anywhere around them. You want to be as far away from them as possible. Others of you, if you smell a certain scent on someone, a certain fragrance, you're going to be drawn more naturally to them. And that's the picture. That as Christians teaching the Word and living our lives, we are giving off that fragrance. And some people will be attracted to it. Those who are going to gain eternal life, they'll be attracted to that smell. While others who are not interested in that, they are repulsed by it, they would say, you smell like death. But he says, we are the fragrance to God. Now notice verse 16. Who's sufficient for these things? Should I be the one who's giving off this great scent to give the knowledge of Him? I'm insufficient of myself to do that. But God has given that to me. Verse 17. We are not like so many peddlers of God's Word, but men of sincerity. As commissioned by God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Now, he may very well be referring only to the apostles, but we see a general principle here that we're sent, commissioned, sent for this, and they aren't people just out selling and out trying to make a profit. Because remember what he wasn't getting from the Corinthians? He was getting no money from the Corinthians. He was getting no financial help from them. He wasn't doing it for the money. He wasn't out there, but rather he was out there as men of sincerity. People who were wanting to do the right things and spread the knowledge of Him everywhere. And so, in this great triumphant victory, victory in Christ, He says, we are the fragrance to men that are perishing and to men that will receive life. Now you say, well, could it be a bad smell? Could a perfume ever go bad? Why don't you go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 2. Sometimes we just might stink of hypocrisy. Where instead of being a fragrance that leads to the knowledge of Christ, we lead to the repulsion of Christ. Because we aren't living as men of sincerity, but men of hypocrisy. Notice this. Verse 17 of Romans chapter 2 is Paul is really speaking to the Jew here. And he says in verse 17, if you call yourself a Jew and rely on the law and boast in God and know His will and approve what is excellent because you're instructed from the law, and if you are sure that you are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You think you got it all. You got the law. You got the promises. You know more than those babies. Those people don't know anything. You're showing those blind people how to walk. You're teaching them what to do. Yep. But verse 21. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say you must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? Meaning you're so against these idols, but yet you'll go and you'll steal from them to make some money. Are you kidding me? Hey, but you boast in the law. You dishonor God by breaking the law. Yeah, we've got the law of God. Yeah, we know the truth. We know everything. But yet, you break the law. For, therefore, verse 24, as it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. You stink. When you're supposed to be this sweet-smelling fragrance to those who are interested in the spiritual things, instead, you stink. And people talk bad about your perfume. You ever bought a cologne or a perfume and it stank? I remember there was one that came out when I was in high school. It was by this basketball player, very tall guy, George Mirasau. It may have been the worst smelling cologne I have ever smelled in my life. I didn't want to be around anybody that put that on. And that's what happens when we aren't giving off what we should. When we aren't living the word as people of sincerity, but people who claim to know it all, and people who claim to be helping other people, and we aren't living it. We stink. We smell like dead men. And isn't that what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 23? On the outside, they are whitewashed tombs. But on the inside, it's full of dead men's bones. The smell eventually begins to creep out. Or this fragrance of Christ. We say, I don't really want to be a bottle of perfume. All right, fine. You don't have to be a bottle of perfume. I want you to see that you're also a fragrance in another way. I want you to think about something here. I got this grill up on the board. Summer is a good time to grill. When you smell somebody grilling, or you grill, is that a pleasant smell to you? Or, man, let me get away from that grill. I don't want any part of that. No, you go through that, don't you? Some smells better than others, and you walk up and say, oh, what are you cooking? What are you putting on there? There's that good smell, isn't it? Good fragrance. You know that that's really what we are? We're not only this incense type of thing, But this picture comes from a sacrifice to God. That it is a sacrifice that is a sweet smell to God. I want you to go back to the Old Testament with the Levitical law. And I want you to go to the book of Leviticus. We're just going to look at a couple verses in chapter 1. And we can look at many other verses in the book of Leviticus and in Exodus that really talk about when the children of Israel were to offer a sacrifice to God, how God felt about that. And so, chapter 1, we talk about the different sin offerings and the burnt offerings. Chapter 2, we talk about the grain offerings and the food offerings and all those different types of offerings. Now, I'm not going to focus on that, but I want to focus on the result if the sacrifice was offered properly. Meaning the right animal, the right fire, the right attitude, all of those things, what it went up to God as, verse 9. But its entrails and its legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Yours might say sweet savor to the Lord. It's our same idea. Look down now at verse 13. Again, go to the last sentence. It is a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Go down to the last verse of the chapter, verse 17. Again, last sentence. It is a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. When you offer the correct sacrifice, it smells good to God. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Go to the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5. That the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and for me is said to have been just this. That it smelt good to God. It was a sweet savor to God. So verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. You see, when Christ offered Himself, how did God view that? This was a pleasing smell. It was a fragrant offering to Him. Christ isn't the only one who gets credit for a sweet smell in the sacrifice. Go to the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4. Remember I said a minute ago that Paul, when he's in, the Corinthians never gave him any money, but yet he says in 1 Corinthians he robbed other churches. Well, one of those churches was the Philippians. And they sent to his need once and again to supply him the things that were lacking, chapter 4 would tell us. And they had sent a man by the name of Epaphroditus to bring the gift to Paul, as you remember. And Paul is so thankful about that. So verse 14, it was kind of you to share my trouble. As you Philippians yourselves know, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you alone. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. You're the only one who have done this. Thank you. And notice how he says this now, verse 17. And it's not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied. Having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, and here it is, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. They hadn't just made a sacrifice for the Apostle Paul, had they? God had made record of them giving up their things for Christ. And how did God view that? As a fragrant offering. It was acceptable to him. He gladly received that. Well, how do you and I do that? We could send money to help people, couldn't we? We could help as a church. We could help those who are in need of the gospel, all those different types of things. But isn't there the picture in Romans chapter 12 about this? I want to tie these two thoughts together. Go back to Romans 12. And it's a passage that you well know. But I want you to think about it in light of this fragrance, of the smell that a grilled piece of meat gives off. Verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What should always be smelling good? The thing that is sacrificed. And what does he say is the sacrifice? Your bodies as a living sacrifice. So what's that mean? Let's imagine again for a second, and we're going to use a steak because I like steak. So if I was God, I would have them offer me a steak. Imagine for a second that a steak had two legs and a mouth and hands and a head and all that stuff. And it could walk around. And it was continually on fire like it was on the grill. And it was marinated perfectly. How would that be smelling? It'd walk into the room and go, oh man, I gotta eat that thing. You can smell it from the other room until you want to come into it. You want to get that. And shouldn't that be the way for you and me? That if our bodies are the things that are to be sacrificed, that there would be a continual fragrance that is given off by that sacrifice. That should be sweet smelling and pleasing to God. Under one condition. It is acceptable to God. Otherwise, it is a repulsive smell to the point where he would do like with Nadab and Abihu. And what would he do? Send down fire from heaven and consume. Or in the book of Malachi, when they weren't offering the sacrifices correctly. And what did he say? I wish someone would just shut the doors. It is a repulse to him. As opposed to a sweet-smelling fragrance. So how does God smell us? Am I that living sacrifice? Or am I a rotting piece of meat? Because we don't like when our food goes bad in our refrigerator, do we? A cooked piece of meat smells good. A raw, rotting piece of meat does not. Well, what's he tell us to do in verse 2? What's one of the ways to be acceptable? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. If you want to do what is good and what is right and what is perfect, what do you have to do? You got to change your mind. There's this transformation that must take place in the brain where the thoughts must be different. And when the thoughts are different, then the actions there are different. To where I have to think that I am a sacrifice. I am someone who is giving off a fragrance to people and to God. And do I want to be repulsive? Or do I want to attract people to myself and to the Lord? And if I'm not transforming myself, I'm repulsive to God, and I'm also repulsive to those who would want to know God. While everyone else might be okay because they all stink too. If we all stink, nobody knows the difference. Maybe you've been to a foreign country and everyone smells bad. But there's a foreigner that walks in with his deodorant and his perfume or his cologne. Then you realize how bad everyone smells. That's the way a Christian should be. In a world where everyone is dying and rotting, people ought to become... Where did you get that? From the Word of God. Instead, they might not even notice the difference. Or maybe everyone smells good, and I walk in the room, there was all. That's what we're talking about. That's you. That's me. We are one or the other. We are not both. We are one or the other. Why don't you go to 1 Peter chapter 4 as we wrap it up. Let's say you do change your mind. You decide that you're going to change your mind. And that's what we see in the first few verses here in 1 Peter chapter 4, is that someone who is willing to change their mind. I want you to see this. If you're going to be like Christ, you see verse 1, since Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For that time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. You want to change your mind, you change this stuff. This is what everybody else is doing. But are you going to live for yourself? Or are you going to live for God? Because the time past suffices. It is sufficient living and thinking like the Gentiles. So this is what's going to happen if you will. I want you to look at verse 4. Then they will do something. Because if you leave all of the drunkenness and the revelries and the drinking parties and you leave all of that stuff, and you decide, I am going to be a living sacrifice to God. They will note the change in the smell. And this is what they will say, verse 4. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery. And they malign you. But they will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Here's what's going to happen. They won't understand you. And more than that, they will speak bad of you. And didn't we see that this morning with Joseph, with Potiphar's wife speaking bad of him? But what had he done? The right thing. So what? So what if they speak bad about you? So what if they malign you and they're surprised you don't do that anymore? Do you want to smell different and better? Do you want to smell like B.O.? Change your ways. Because what do they have to do? The same thing that you and I will have to do. They will have to give an account to the one who will judge the living and the dead. I have to answer for it. They'll have to answer for it. And they won't be able to say, if you change your ways, well, I didn't know. No one ever showed me how I was supposed to live. No one ever showed me how I was supposed to smell. They'll have to say, yep, I saw my friend change. Yeah, I saw my friend who used to do those things, who now doesn't do those things anymore, and they didn't do it for themselves to make themselves better. They did it because they wanted to please somebody else. The one who created them. The one who was to judge them. It wasn't for personal gain. It was a sacrifice. They gave up themselves. And you know what might happen if you do that? Verse 6. For this is why the gospel is preached even to those who are dead. That though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does, there is a chance that they might live because you changed. There is a great chance that they will die if you don't change. And you know what else is going to happen if you don't change? You are going to die. Do we want to smell like death and B.O.? Or do we want to smell like life? And isn't that one of the fragrances? Like springtime, where the flowers are blooming? What do you want to do? Or a good grilled piece of meat? How's God smell? Is what I'm offering Him, is it pleasing, acceptable, and holy? Or is He repulsed by what I'm offering? And when people smell me, do they smell the fragrance of Christ in this beautiful way because they are wanting life? Or do they smell hypocrisy? I'll tell you what, I've been a hypocrite way too often. That stinks. Nobody wants to be around a hypocrite. Let's be people who give off the fragrance of Christ as a sweet-smelling aroma. If you're subject to the invitation in any way this evening, we'd ask that you come now as we stand and as we sing.